Shalom, everyone. I hope my sound is coming through nice and clear. We're reading about the first seal this evening, and I'd like to start in Essays 2, Tablet 11, The Role of India and the Far East in the Progress of Human Civilization. India and the Far East regions of the world had a great role in bringing the understanding of the reality of the universe to the access of the human. Also, they have preserved most of the basic realities underlying all religions. The Far East philosophies, through gaining knowledge about being more and more familiar with the body, mind, and spirit, and through direct experience with the external world, make it possible for a true seeker to perceive and realize the magnificence of his body and how to develop those latent faculties which have been closed in the course of the evolutionary progress of the human. This part of the world has been set aside to preserve the techniques and teachings that enable man to understand his great potential of awakening his inner strength. That is why people are becoming more and more interested in these teachings, because these systems work directly on individuals and cause them to experience that world which other religions and prophets have only described. But very few people have been able to perceive them with that direct experience. However, other religions are necessary to perfect these systems, as it has been revealed in the greatest sign. A person can become complete only when he understands the basic realities behind the greatest sign. None of the seals alone presented in the greatest sign is complete or greater than any of the other ones, but each seal has its greatness in the successive manner toward pure consciousness. Therefore, the teachings of the Far East and other mystical paths in other parts of the world also have their validities only when studied in respect to the rest of the seals in the greatest sign. And I'm going to go ahead and read the next section of this tablet. It's not completely the first seal, but I think it's very, very relevant. Action, karma, knowledge, jnana, and devotion, bhakti, yogas, and their places in the greatest sign. Yoga means union, to become one or the same as God, or to become in His image. In the Far East philosophies, also, there are numerous branches and techniques. Basically, three ways are recognized to reach the goal. They are called karma yoga through action, jnana yoga through knowledge, and bhakti yoga through devotion. Karma yoga is suited for those who like to do and act, but also want not to be bound by their actions. So, in this practice, the aspirant does the action and surrenders the result to the Lord. Therefore, he will become free of being attached to the external world, results of his actions. Jnana Yoga is for those who want to free themselves from the bondages of this world through knowledge of its laws and how they work and bind the consciousness. By study, contemplation, meditation, etc., and with His grace, they come to grasp the truth behind the laws governing the universe. So, through this knowledge, they become free. Bhakti Yoga is based on devotion. In essence, it is to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and being. Through this one-pointed devotion, a person will be saved by Him. With all the attention directed toward Him, no mind or Maya enters, so the world has no power over his devotee. Now the question is, where do they fit in the greatest sign? The I Ching sign in the horizontal position at the very bottom of the greatest sign represents a unit consciousness when it is lost and is on the path toward enlightenment, so this point is the beginning of his journey. If a unit mind tries to understand the realities behind this universe by gathering knowledge through meditation, contemplation, reflection, study, etc., he will start to awaken his spiritual forces and, by his grace, will realize the truth. So the very sign, Hari Om, Sheri Hum, Hosh, is the path of knowledge, Jnana Yoga. The man who directs his attention with complete devotion to the center of the greatest sign, or the Lord as the only object of worship and devotion, will be following the path of Bhakti Yoga. With this intense devotion, he will win his grace and know all truth. The person who realizes the meaning of the sign at the very top, or the sign of surrendering, will be following the path of Karma Yoga, or action. Through his surrendering, he will win his grace and so will know him. So as we can see, any unit consciousness in any of the three paths mentioned above can easily find his place in the teachings of the greatest sign. However, his endeavors will be of little value if he does not understand the rest of the teachings of the greatest sign. That is, all of those who follow these different paths according to their nature, dharma, should direct their knowledge, devotion, or action toward establishing the desired environment so that others can also benefit from their progress and follow the path toward God realization according to their natures. In this endeavor, they should be ready to sacrifice all for their ideal and be a channel for him to guide them in their actions, submission. They should long to help the whole universe to progress to its highest potential and so become a Paravipra. Only then with our knowledge, jnana, devotion, bhakti, or action, karma, be blessed. Then all will be following his will and therefore become divine. So no matter what your path is, you are part of the eternal divine path and will be perfected by following it. Amen. And now, because the first seal and the seventh seal actually are one in the greatest sign at the bottom, the first seal, I'm going to go ahead and read in Essays 2, Tablet 9, and I'll post the URL for that as well. And this is Hari Om Sheri Hum Hosh sign. The sign representing pure consciousness is the sign of Hari Om Sheri Hum, which means the goal of the life is to become divine. This sign consists of four parts. The dot in the middle is a representation of the beginning of all things, and also the beginning of the spiritual struggle or operative power of the three gunas, the word. The I Ching represents the dual nature of all things in the universe, positive and negative, and also the spiritual powers of the three gunas in the operative state awakened by the Raja Guna. The other two parts are the expanding lotus and the sign, which is called the Latustika. The expanding lotus is the loving side of God, and the Latustika is the destructive or punishing side, which is invisible and is not. Punishment and destruction come to man only when man goes against his laws. Indeed, it does not exist and is not God who punishes or destroys. It happens because man goes against his laws and so brings destruction to himself. Destruction also happens when the old has to be replaced by the new. Therefore, the sign Hari Om Sheri Hum in general means that with spiritual powers, God controls the operative powers of the three gunas, and he is the nucleus of the universe. The expanding lotus shows that he is all-pervasive and loving. The Lotustaka demonstrates his power, the universal laws of guiding and advancing the universe. The equivalent to the Hash sign is the four-armed Krishna in the Hindu religion and the square mandala in Tantric Buddhism. The I Ching sign in the middle is a representation of the Krishna and, in Buddhist terms, is the center of the mandala, Vahasattva. The four-armed Lotustaka shows the four arms of the Krishna and the four sides, north, south, west, and east in the mandala. The I Ching in the middle and the four-armed Lotustaka together can be viewed as five jinas in the core of the Buddhist mandala. Hinduism and Buddhism both strive to reach a state of consciousness beyond the manifested mind. Although this state is called by different names, such as samadhi, nirvana, union with God, etc., but they are all referring to the same thing, which we call pure consciousness, God in transcendental form. This state of consciousness is the goal of all mystical paths, to become in the image of God. Therefore, we can see that Buddhism and Hinduism as religions are also covered in the greatest sign. The expanding lotus shows the all-pervasiveness of the Lord, or Supreme Consciousness. Also, the three colors of the sign, white, orange, and blue, respectively represent Sattvaguna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna, or Brahma, Preserver, Vishnu, Protector, and Shiva, Destroyer. The very center of the sign represents the Father, or Rama, in Hindu terminology. Of course, to write the true meanings of the Hash sign and or greatest sign, Om Nam Kevalam, Ankh, is like trying to describe God himself, is infinite. They, Hash sign, and Ankh sign are representations of his qualities and attributes. And now I'm going to go to the supplements. And again, I'm posting the URL. We're going to begin with the supplement titled Meditation and Prayer. Meditation and Prayer. Meditation is a state when God talks to a person. Prayer is when a person talks to God. That is why in meditation, one feels oneness with God or being Him. Without being humble, this might create a superiority feeling in the person who meditates. This is the reason why selfless service is recommended for the disciples, to bring a balance between a great feeling of being one with God and the humbleness of being selfless, his servant. Prayer also does the same thing. In order for a person to kneel down and pray to God, he or she should humble the self to do so. Therefore, meditation and prayer go hand in hand. They bring a balance to a person. Meditation makes a person to be with God. Prayer makes him humble. Prayer, in fact, is a spiritual service, not being self-centered to the self. And now I'm going to go to another supplement, and this one is titled Collective Meditation versus Transmission Meditation. There is a difference between collective meditation and transmission meditation. Collective meditation is to strengthen the community. That is why we meditate together. In fact, it should be done every day together in the morning and evening. Transmission meditation is what we do on Saturdays, 6 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. and again 6 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Transmission meditation is individual meditation for good, God, will, to man, and peace on earth, etc. In other words, collective meditation is to reach, strengthen the communities of light. Transmission meditation is to reach out to the rest of humanity and the universe. Collective meditation is to strengthen the community and accelerate the progress of the members in the community. As mentioned above, it is recommended to be practiced twice a day collectively. The more people participate in this wonderful practice, the greater the acceleration in individual and collective consciousness. That is why we practice over the internet to increase our numbers. In collective meditation, each individual will become integrated to the collective body, and a collective consciousness is created by them. The collective consciousness represents God in a greater degree. God is the total collective consciousness in the universe and beyond. The more people participate in this practice, the greater manifestation of God will be present. Transmission meditation, however, is an individual endeavor to bring good God thoughts and peace to man. Although collective meditation will also help in this process, transmission meditation brings a greater awareness that we are responsible for the well-being of all uniconsciousnesses in the universe. We are not an isolated island in the universe. The well-being of the rest of the universe will accelerate our well-being as well. If even one person is suffering in the universe, all are responsible for this suffering and should be concerned and try to help to alleviate all sufferings. Transmission meditation is the beginning of this awareness and help. When the members of the communities of light become one, when their intentions are to bring peace and goodwill to all members of all, when their intentions are to bring peace and goodwill to all members in the communities of light, then they will can extend these wonderful qualities to the rest of humanity and eventually the whole universe, God, as well. Now there's a note. There has been a question on what is the difference in performing the process between collective transmission meditation and individual meditation. Here is the answer. In both of these meditations, collective and transmission, go to the calm place in your meditation, if you can, without going through the meditation process. In collective meditation, concentrate on your community of light and seek answers to the question of how you can become more one with the community and create a community of light. Realize the problems in it. Come up with solutions for your problem first, then others, and eventually the whole community. Solve your individual problems, including the ones you have with other people. Any solution you come up with for others and or the community in whole, give it to them in the form of a suggestion. Let others also learn how to come up with solutions themselves instead of making decisions for them all the time. In transmission meditation, reach out to humanity and the universe. Again, go to the calm place within without going through the process, and then imagine the love and light of God touches everyone. See what the problems on earth or the universe are. Seek solutions to them and see how the mission will solve all of them, etc. Pray for humanity, universe, and visualize peace will come after the mission is established, etc. Then visualize how you can join the communities of light and help in this process, etc. And we probably have time for one more, and I guess I'm going to go ahead here to salvation in the supplements again. In order to know the truth, we should look to the past to see a pattern that will confirm any teachings. In the teachings of the Far East, especially Hinduism, a period is described when many great souls were living on earth. They were called by many names, such as rishis, masters, mahatmas, munis, etc. Their teachings, however, became a wealth of knowledge for future generations. In their teachings, a state of oneness with God, Atman, is explained. According to these teachings, that is the goal of spiritual endeavors. Whoever reaches this oneness has reached the goal. However, for many thousands of years, 12,000, few have realized this oneness. The reason for this has been the 12,000-year period of human history when man fell further from God, truth. We are now at the point of return to the Godhead. That is the reason for such a great confusion in this conjunction between the end of the old and dawn of the new. However, the old history should not be completely disregarded. There are great lessons to be learned from it. The new indeed should be based on these lessons of the old. We are on the brink of discovering much great knowledge that can either be used for good, God, or evil. It is after the establishment of the kingdom for 1,000 years that humanity will learn great lessons which have been revealed throughout this book. So, and the eternal divine path, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years, Revelation 20, verse 5. Eventually, through the formation of the communities of light and creation of the proper environment one more time, many great souls will reach that great oneness with their essence, which is God, good. This is when many will attain salvation. This is the goal of our teachings. They will reach pure consciousness. They will be with the Father as his sons. These great souls, one more time, will teach humanity the goal of their lives, to become divine, one. Then is the time that the golden era will dawn, and one more time, the sons of God will be with man at man. And at this time, all will release the mic.